If you're a business owner or work for one, this presentation may be the most tactical thing that I can do to make you money. I think this one's going to be a really big hitter, which is why I wanted to do it live with you guys. So let me ask you guys a question. Who believes that you have to work hard to make money? Real question. Okay. Who believes that no one can outwork them? Okay, good. I have at least some honest people in this room. Well, I'm going to attempt to prove some of you wrong who believe that you can never be outworked, because I see that on the internet all the time, and it drives me bananas. And the reason this is so important, defining work, is that all of us claim to work every day, and yet most of us can't even define the word. And so how do you define work? So we can use the science definition, which is, you know, work equals force times distance. Problem is that that's not very useful for knowledge workers for what we do. Do we use the time on clock definition, you know, time spent working as our inputs? Problem is, you know, you work 16 to 18 hours a day, and so if everyone is already doing that, then how can one person work harder than another? Okay. So then do we define it by how hard you try? So the effort that you expend is the work that you do. Well, do you want participation trophies? And people just saying, like, yes, you tried your hardest. Is this how you want your employees to gauge themselves? Well, I tried really hard even though I suck. It's like, well, okay. And so if work isn't four times distance, if it's just the time you put in, and if it's not just how hard you try, then what is work? And so we better be clear on what it is we're trying to do to make money, right? If we're going to do more of it to make more money. And so this is my definition, which is work equals outputs. And outputs equal volume times leverage. So some of you guys have seen this from me before. And the plain speak is the number of times you do something times how much you get out of each time you do it. Fundamentally, that's what it is. And so the next question that follows is, well, then how do we work faster? How do we do more work per unit of time? And so that's volume times leverage divided by time. And so the plain speak is output per unit. Okay. And so if you want to produce the most per unit of time, please pay attention, because I do think that this will help you. And so how can we get more out of the time we put in, which in the game of business is money? And so now everyone's like attention, you know, perks up. They're like, ah, that stuff. I would like that. And so visual for you. So volume is the number of times you do the thing. Leverage is how much you get out of each time you do it equals your output. How many times you do it times how much time you get equals your output. And so some quick examples, and you guys can tell me whether it's high or low. All right, is this high output or low output? This is low. It's very hard to do that with very low leverage. High or low? High. Great. High or low? Higher. Exactly. High or low? Highest. Because we have a lot of volume on good leverage. And so now that we understand what work is, you can either do more activity, do more stuff, or get more for it to get higher output. And so normally I spend the vast majority of my career talking about leverage. But today, I actually want to talk about volume. And the reason for that is because I'm talking to a lot of businesses. And I have taken for granted that people do all the volume stuff. And it turns out, after talking to many of you, that is just not true. And so here I am talking about leverage because I just assume you work your ass off. And that's fundamentally false for most of you. And I'm baffled by how little people actually work when they think they are working. It's for you. And so I'm going to cover two things today. Number one, clear on the input that grows your business the most. Two is removing everything that isn't that from your life. My disclaimer is that this is for business owners and specifically your highest level employees. And so if you're like taking notes and you're like, hey, I want to send this to my team, I would recommend, because my team saw these slides beforehand and I had like two guys being like, oh, I'm going to change a whole bunch of stuff. And I was like, great. And that's my sign for good presentation. So figuring out the right input. Let's say that you want to grow your business. You can either get more customers or you can make them worth more. That's it. You either sell more units, increase LTV. Done. So breaking this into actions, for customers, you either get more traffic or you convert a higher percentage of them, of the traffic you have. That's the action. Making them worth more, you raise prices, decrease your cost of goods sold, buy more, get people to buy more stuff more times. Those are the things. That's all you got. And if you look at these four things, what do you actually do? Well, to get more traffic, you have to advertise more or better. To increase your conversion, you have to practice sales or you have to improve your offer. If you want to raise your prices, you just have to grow gonads and decide. By the way, gonads are both sexes, so there you go. There's my PC for the day. Buy more times, which would be decreasing churn. You have reach outs, you have exit interviews, you do prepayments, you improve your onboarding, you get faster results, you hold events to appreciate members or clients. But if you look at your time, you do almost none of these things. You're not doing this stuff now, and that's why you're probably not making money or as much as you want. And so if you don't do this stuff, all the time that you spend, quote, working has the same impact as doing nothing. And it's kind of like spending your entire week thinking about how you're going to build and redesign your website and then ultimately deciding not to do it, except it's just more tiresome than just watching Netflix and relaxing. And so you'd literally be better off doing nothing than doing the work that you claim to be work that actually isn't. And so that's why most of the businesses here are stuck and why many people watching this at home aren't growing as fast as they want. And so for most of you, especially the smaller businesses, your effort should be disproportionately here on getting more traffic, advertising more, advertising better, and higher conversion, meaning your actual activities on a daily basis is letting more people know about your stuff and practicing getting them to give you money when they find out about it. That is what you do on a regular basis with the vast majority of your time. After all, if you do not have customers, then there is no one that you can raise his prices on and that you can get to buy more times and increase their lifetime value. And so let's pick apart this first one first. Advertising more and better. So you advertise better by advertising more. Excellence comes from repetition. When we even use volume as a measure for skill, like I've taken 4,000 sales consults. We even say that. We use it as a proxy, and yet we don't think about that for our own skill in business. And so if you want to get unreasonably good at advertising, do so much advertising that it would be unreasonable for you to suck after doing that much of it. Again, we're just defining inputs here. So if you run ads, it means you commit to spending 4 hours a day scripting, analyzing, writing copy, and recording ads, which may mean learning how to use editing software or an iPhone. If you use outreach, it means spending 4 hours a day reaching out to people across social media platforms. If you use content as your primary advertising, then you make content for 4 hours a day, every day, and you make it on every platform. If you use partners and affiliates, it means spending 4 hours a day doing outreach, ads, or making content to help your affiliates send you more customers. So these actions become the volume that create the outputs, which for many of you is more leads. And if you're hearing 4 hours a day and thinking, well, how will I have time to do everything else? Remember that doing everything else is what's this is what your time looks like when your business is stalled. This is what your time looks like when your business is growing. And so too many of you, if you're honest with yourself, your days look like this. And expect results that look like this. I told you, I'll just give you a really thorough answer. And so before you say, but I need to keep doing, insert whatever thing that isn't growing your business, remember, you guys can do whatever you want. But if you keep doing the same stuff and your business isn't growing, then the stuff that you're doing is wrong. It is not the right stuff. And you have to learn how to let some fires burn. Some problems are problems, but are not the problem of the business today. And this is the essence of strategy. You learn to prioritize. Some things are more important than others, which means, yes, you can neglect them for a season. Then when they actually become the true limiter of the business, the true constraint, then you focus on them 4 hours a day until you solve it. And so if you use these four things as our guide, let's say you master traffic and you're getting loads of leads, but you can't close a barn door if the wind was behind you, right? Then conversion becomes your limiter. And so then you train someone else on the advertising stuff you do because you mastered it, and then you spend 4 hours a day trying to optimize your conversion, which might look like this. You might actually track your close rate for a change. You might actually report all your sales interactions and do them from behind the person. You can actually see their identity. This is for brick and mortar people. And have a sign on your door that says that you record so you can do this legally. Watch game tape of sales that actually worked every single morning. You practice your script out loud every single day. You hire someone who can give you feedback, ideally daily, on how well you sell. You have a 2-minute mental prep before you take consults every single time. You give a pre-sale questionnaire to every person who walks in the door, if you're brick and mortar or you have some sort of thing online, to get them ready for the sale. You qualify people on the phone better to pre-sell them. And then you actually do that every time. There you go. You guys getting this? Cool? Okay. So all problems are solvable with skills, and all skills are attainable with repetition and feedback. And once you have a skill, you can do it in less time, which gives you leverage, so you get more for what you do. The better you get at it, the less time it takes for you to do it, so you get more time back. In other words, once you get great at sales, you don't need to spend as much time on it, and you'll still close the same percentage. You go from growing a skill to maintaining a skill. And it's much easier to maintain a skill and continue to stay at that same level than it is to gain a skill. And so it's kind of like maintaining weight. If you've ever like lost weight or gained weight, like once you get to that level, it's much easier to stay and maintain than it is to break the, whatever the word is, homeostasis. And same thing for gaining muscle. And everything you spend your time on has to clearly ladder up to one of these four things. And so right now, if you look at your schedule and you're not laddering up to these four things, you're not doing the stuff that makes money. Otherwise, you're just doing this rather than this. But still, some of you guys are going to be thinking to yourselves, well, with what time, Al? I can barely keep water as is. I'm very busy. Understandable. And if you have a special snowflake excuse, I'm special, you're totally right. It's literally impossible for you to do what I'm saying, and that's why your business will never grow. Cool. And that is my talk for today. No. Feel better? Of course, you're right. Business will never grow, right? Happy now? You're totally justified in not achieving your goals. Consider yourself excused. All right. So for everyone else, right? We just have to face reality. Success, the marketplace, your customers, they don't care about whatever your excuse is. And it may be entirely justified. It also doesn't matter. And they also don't care. They just care about output. They care about what they can get from you. What's in it for me? And so if you're open to the idea that I might know a little bit about making money and growing businesses, I want to get to the second part of my presentation, which was, that was my 11-year transformation. That's my before and after. How to make this easier for you. So I said I was going to cover two things. The first is how to get very clear on the inputs that grow your business. I'm going to feel very clear on the four things that you need to do and how they ladder up to activities that you spend 4 hours a day. And you're like, great, but I don't have 4 hours a day. Well, that's why we're going to do the second part, which is removing everything else that isn't that from your life. And so the nice part about this second half of the presentation is that there's nothing to argue about. It's just facts. We all have 24 hours a day. I'm good there? So far, I've just stated facts? Okay. People who move faster just do better things with their time. You can cut grass with scissors, and it will take all day. Or you can make one call and have someone else do it. In either scenario, both people get the grass cut. And so we outlined that you need to spend your time working on those four levers in your business, at least 4 hours a day. And so I'm going to show you how to find the time with a combination of habits and buying time. This may be one of the more tactical things that I give you guys that will probably change your life from this whole experience. So first, we have to find time, and second, we will buy time. So let's start with finding time. So there's two types of work that every entrepreneur has. You've got maker time, you've got manager time. Maker time is long blocks of uninterrupted time, 4 to 6 hours. You only have 14 work blocks per week of this maker time. It's very, very valuable. It's low urgency, high importance work. That's the stuff that moves the business forward. A productive maker calendar is an empty calendar. An interruption always destroys an entire time block. Who here has had a time block where you're like really excited and then a 1 hour call comes in at 10 a.m. and you're like, well, there goes my morning. Yes, we've all been there and you hate that person. And this is what maker time looks like. Looks great. Look at that beautiful blue space. So much work. So much money to be made. On the other hand, you've got manager time, and we manage both of these things. These are time blocks as small as 5 to 15 minutes. You have 100 of these plus per week. The goal is to fill your calendar with these slots if you're in your manager time. And you are maximally productive as a manager when you have no gaps. And this is usually when you're spending time training teams, coordinating, communicating, putting out fires. And this is what it looks like when you're on manager time. This is also my calendar when I'm on a manager day. And both of these work styles are important. Everyone here has worn both of these hats, right? Okay. But the moment these two hats meets is when disaster happens. And so if you try to inject tiny slices of management into your making time, you kill half a day. It doesn't work. And if you have lots of empty slots between your managing time, it's also inefficient there too because you're not doing anything with that time. You might as well fill it with more meetings. And so you have to understand what type of work you're doing when you start the day and explain to your team the difference between these types of work and the importance of those time periods and why you have to prioritize them so the entire business can grow. And so beyond explaining the difference in these styles of work, I don't know why I keep going out there, here's what I did to facilitate maker time, because manager time kind of always happens. So here are the maker habits that I have. So one is I decide the one project I need to work on that's most important. And yes, it can be the same thing for a while. I woke up at 4 a.m., I worked until 9 a.m. on that work, 5 hours. That's how I work. I turned off all my notifications. I have a dark room. My office now still has no windows. No sound. Earplugs. I keep it very, very simple. I want to put everything out of my world besides the work. And I realized that there are no emergencies. So this is something that for all entrepreneurs we have to understand, is that there are no emergencies. There's 911, someone's dying, in which case call them, not me. And then there's the emergency that your business isn't going to grow for the third year in a row, which you need to solve now. Which also means going to bed at the same time every single night, which is a habit that served me very well. And that also includes weekend. And if you're like, how do I do that? I always go to sleep late. Just wake up early once and be tired. That's how it works. That's my brilliant idea. Treat weekends and weekdays the same. And realize that drinking costs you 2 days. The day you drink and the day you recover. And some makers work late at night after their kids have gone to sleep. Anyone here who have that? Is that your time slot for making? Okay, cool. It doesn't matter what your time slot is, as long as you make time for it. Just find the 4 to 5 hours that you can turn everything off. And working weekends is also a hack that you can move forward. It's 104 days a year. The amount of entrepreneurs that are like, I take weekends off. I'm like, 104 days of uninterrupted time. Okay, got it. Understood. Well, I'd love to compete against you. Anyways, so those are some of the habits that help me find time to do the things that matter most. The second is buying time. So let's talk about that. So you are the most valuable person in your business. You produce the most value for the company. And if you had a star employee, you'd want to maximize their every waking moment, right? If you've got everybody here, if some person you're like, man, I just want to clear the way for them. I just want them to just keep working, working, working. Okay. And we often do this with our teams, right? We try and empower them. We try and clear their calendars, try and give them help. But we don't do this for ourselves. And so there's the myth of work life and personal life, you know, integration or whatever, and this isn't that talk. Believe me, I don't care about that talk. What I mean is that we all have one battery. And the problem with your spouse and your kids and your chores and your employees is they all drain from the same source. And so you become more productive by eliminating the things that make you unproductive more than you have some Pomodoro time hack. And like, this is what I really want to have sink in. You will become more productive through elimination than by adding optimization. Just by taking away all the things that are not the things that grow the business. And so I also bring this up because no one ever sticks with that stuff anyways. We all see the TikTok hack of like, put a timer and then take a walk. Like, no one does it. No one does it. No one does it. So let's just forget about it. Why bother? But cutting things out, they are permanent reductions in energy drainage that you can reallocate to making more money, doing the stuff that matters. And so if we all have 24 hours a day, someone who works on the most important stuff for 16 hours, 6 days a week, is going to move way faster than someone who does it 3 hours per week in real, real work time. Some of you guys, if you look back on your last week, you're like, how much real maker time did I make for myself to work on the stuff that grows the business? Many times, if you're really honest with yourself, it's like 4 hours. And so there's a reason that someone could actually move 30 times faster than you. And that's the difference. If you're doing 3 hours of productive for 96 productive hours. It's just the math. And so it's not even close. That's how you move 30 times faster than somebody else, even though both people work all day. And so hopefully they convince you about how important this is and maybe why other people you know move faster than you. And so let's get really tactical. The average American spends 50 hours per month on food, groceries, eating, prepping, cleaning. The replacement cost for that is $800 a month. The average American spends 25 hours per month cleaning their home. The replacement cost for that is $500 a month. The average American spends 16 hours per month doing laundry, washing, drying, folding, organizing, dry cleaning, driving to the laundromat. $200 a month to replace that. Which means that for $1,500 a month, you can get 96 hours per month back. That's 2 full work weeks every single month. And that means that if you can make more than $15 per hour with your time, you should make that trade 7 days a week, twice on Sunday, and once for your mom. And this is very much a form of reinvesting in yourself. But you have to use the time that you buy to work to make even more. So this isn't the, I will spend $1,500 a month, and then I will get 96 hours back, and I will watch 96 more hours of Netflix. This is not that plan. And I bring this up because I'm amazed at how many people feel like they're being irresponsible by spending this money. Like the amount of entrepreneurs that I talk to that are like, that will happily hire somebody for $50,000 a year and are unwilling to think about the idea of spending $1,500 a month on things that make them feel fancy or frilly or like excess expenses is ridiculous. I'll say that. It's silly. But if you could spend $1,500 a month on your most valuable employee, forget about you for a second. Your most valuable employee, to get 50% more out of them, wouldn't you do that every day of the week and twice on Sunday? Of course. But you are that more valuable employee. You are that person in the business. By far, not even close, it's you. And I didn't even get into the free 40 hours a week that people spend. All right, so following sports teams, 4 hours a week. Replacement cost of not following sports teams, $0. Watching TV, 21 hours a week on average. Replacement cost, literally nothing. Scrolling social media, 17 hours a week, also literally nothing. Driving to and from work and refilling gas, 4.5 hours a week, replacement cost is $700 a month for Uber. You have somebody else drive you. I tweet on my way to work, and I tweet on my way back. That's where I get my content. And so $1,500 a month, you can still do those fun things. I'm not even taking those out, because you're not going to do it anyways. You're still going to watch TV. You're still going to scroll social media. You're going to do all that stuff. I'm not even going to try. You can still do all that stuff and spend $1,500 a month and get 96 hours a month back. And so I want to be clear. This is a one-time investment. You will never get this back. I can't re-spend the $1,500 and get another 96 hours back. You only get to pull this trigger once. And I'm still amazed at the businesses that are doing $50,000, $100,000, $500,000 a month, and they still are analyzing this bill as something that they have even hesitated to spend money on because of whatever narrative they have around why it's good to clean your own laundry or cook your own food. Now, sure, if you like cooking and it's recreational, then fine. But you and I both know that's not what we're talking about. It's lunch on Tuesday. That's what I'm talking about. And so there are so few things that you can spend $1,500 a month on and get 96 hours per month back. And you can only pull the trigger once. And so this advice is so simple. And yet when I see rooms like this, with the same problems again and again and again, I had to make this incredibly obvious presentation. Because the only thing that's easier than doing this is not doing it, which is what most of you will probably do, is you will nod and you will think about it and then you will do nothing. And you will still cook your fucking food and you will still drive yourself to work and you will still clean your house. You're like, well, I like my clothes folded a certain way. Who cares? Like, is it worth the business not growing by 50% this year? And somehow, those of you who do nothing will be amazed why a year later you're still in the exact same position while someone else who took these simple steps 30x their output. And this is how you can actually do your day job as the manager while also giving yourself the time to do what matters most as a maker. Those 96 hours, you can take those 4 hours a day, and it's there. That's just from the stats. That's not just me. Like, it's right there. You can have it. And so this trading up for time is buying time, and it's less valuable work that you trade money for more free time to do more valuable work that you then trade to get more money. And you just never stop. This whole process never ends. And so bringing this all together, that's the stuff that actually grows your business. If you work on the right stuff, your business will grow, like getting more customers, making them worth more. And if you want to do as much, and you want to do as much of that as you can to grow your business as fast as you can, and make sure your day looks like this, not like that. And to do that in the real world, you eliminate everything else that's not that, which you do by understanding and explaining the difference between maker and manager yourself and your teams, and giving yourself time every single day to decide the project that matters most, wake up a little bit earlier, turn off your notifications, get into a zone that you can actually work. Investing your most valuable employee by eliminating 96 hours per month of work for $1,500 a month so that you can actually work not to 2x or 4x more effective. Let me say that again. So you can work not just 2 or 4 times more effective than your competition, but 30 times more effective than them. Because they're, like you, super distracted, have their notifications turned on, are taking calls in the middle of the day, and they, too, are only working 3 hours of productive hours a week. And you can absolutely murder them in their sleep by how much you crush them in business if you actually spend the time to do the things that matter, which almost no one does. And it's crazy because I spend all this time making all this business content about LTV to CAC ratios and decrease in churn and make sure your onboarding is streamlined. And people are like, I don't have the time. Find the fucking time. Buy it. It's right there. It's for sale. And so you maximize your time and actually work on the things that matter, which everyone else will then wonder when you actually do this, how does he move so fast? How does she move so fast? But you will know the secret, which is that there is no secret. You have one battery, and you just try and eliminate as many drains as you can that aren't aligned with your goal. And that's how you can compress multiple lifetimes of growth into one. Thank you. Any questions on this? Was there anything that was unclear about that presentation? Go for it.
What time do you go to sleep?
So I get in bed at 9. I go to sleep by 10.
And you get up at 4?
I'm probably up. Well, today I was up at 4. But like most of the times I'm up by like 5.
Okay.
Yeah. 10 to 5 works fine. I haven't had an alarm in like 5-7 years. I don't know, like a long time. I'm a big fan, so I probably should add this, is that I think you should have a sleep alarm, not a wake-up alarm. I mean, I sleep as long as you can. Because, like, if I don't know about you, but, like, if I get 9 hours of sleep, I'm like, I can cure cancer today. Like, like I so rarely get 9. Like, if I get 7, you know, I'm fine. But 9, like, I literally look at Layla and I'm like, give me the hardest problems today. like I will just sit in discomfort. Go for it. Sure. Yeah. So I think, okay, so the question was, is it okay to make your goal eliminating manager time? I see it as a continuum rather than an absolute or a binary. So it's not like I am 100% maker or I'm 100% manager. I think it's just how much of that. So like Layla's calendar is flipped from mine. So I have 4 days a week of maker time and one manager day on Mondays, which I just stack the living hell out of. I'm just like, I just tell the team, I was like, just destroy me. Just put everything in there. I expect to accomplish nothing. And I will just make all the decisions and talk to everybody about all the stuff. The other 4 days I work on things that I think matter most. And I also work the weekends. Her schedule is more like this, where she has 4 days a week where she has that are manager time and 1 day a week that's maker time. She also spends the weekends doing maker stuff. And so that's kind of how she balances it. Because Layla actually runs everything in the business, I take credit for running everything in the business. That's kind of our division. It's worked well for us for years. Yeah. So recommend. Yeah. Shoot. I just tweeted about this like 10 minutes ago, which is great. Yeah. So how much time do I spend on fitness stuff in general? So my big advice is get in shape between 18 and 24. And then after that, the maintenance of being in shape, it takes like 10% of your time, which I was alluding to in the presentation. And so it takes me very little time to maintain this. But I now have a gym downstairs, and so it's super, super easy. But you know, I work out when I can. I usually probably work out 3-4 days a week. And it's just downstairs, and I do it in the morning or I do it in the afternoon.
Keep the relationship not turn off and make it more of a business relationship.
So how do we, I'm repeating it because no one has a mic, just so you know. So how do we manage being married and being co-managers of the business?
Not always talking about the business side.
Oh, so we always talk about business. I think what we don't do is judge ourselves for talking about business. I think more people get stressed about what they think they should be doing rather than just being like, this is our relationship, these are our rules, which we make, and we don't think they exist. It's worked fine so far. If one of us wasn't into business, it would suck. That's all I want to talk about. Shoot.
With your battery and just savagery,
this is fucking awesome. So the question was, do I have fun outside of work? The majority of my fun is in work. But I take like one or two vacations a year that are like 3 or 4 days. And we try to do it with friends of ours because most of the friends that we have don't live where we live. And so all the friends that we have are all pretty high level entrepreneurs and they're really busy too. And so we try and have, you know, company there while we can all talk about business and talk about, you know, what we're excited about. And that's what works for us. You know, the first, I think, 3 years of our marriage, we didn't take any. I mean, we didn't do a honeymoon. We worked the day we got married. We worked the next day. We're, like, we do us, though. And so I don't for every, like, I don't see this as prescription. We just do what we want to do. And so I always hesitate with those questions because people take it as gospel. And I just like, we really, really spend a long time trying to not care about what anyone else thinks about what we do. Okay. Yeah. So how often do I review what the constraint is in the business? Your business constraint doesn't change that often once you get it right. And so once you know it's like, okay, I need to advertise more, you just keep doing that until you break something else. And sometimes you can do that for a very, 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 very long time. And the constraint then goes one is chunked down. So it's like, we need to, okay, so it's like you're advertising and you're running ads, but you're like, I need a second channel. So you're still like, the bigger constraint is still the same, I need more leads, but you need to have the constraint of like, I need to solve this next acquisition channel. And so it'll move against the larger constraint of the business, but fundamentally all the constraints are gonna chunk up to, I need to get more customers, I might need to make them worth more, and I might need to make them worth more so that I can get more customers. And so those will oscillate back and forth on the business. The big thing that will matter is kind of benchmarks, is understanding, like, I think we were talking earlier when the guys were there with the med spa, he had a LTV issue. He didn't have a leads issue. And so it's making sure that we're solving the right problem. And I see a lot of business owners really obsessing trying to drive down lead costs. And I find it to be more easy to just fix the sales process and add a zero to your price. And then all of a sudden, all your lead problems go away. And so it's I try and find the easiest way to solve problems, which oftentimes isn't the thing that's immediately apparent. So I'll tell you a fun. So the book launch is going to come up at some point. And so I was thinking about some of the goodies that I was going to be giving away. And one of the goodies I had was like legit like 400 more hours of work. And so I started the project and I stopped after an hour and I was like, okay, can I use my second brain cell here and think of something else that I can give away that's more valuable than this that doesn't take me 400 hours? And it took me like an hour to think of something else that was better and took less time. And so I think sometimes like the pendulum swing on the other side of this is if you have tremendous work ethic, then sometimes you want to solve problems the hard way. But there's like, this is something that I feel like I've found more and more as I've like gotten doggy years aged in business, is like there's usually a more elegant solution if you just take a second and you're like, and I like asking hypotheticals of like, what would it take to, or if I had to make something more valuable in a tenth of the time, what would I do? If someone 10 times smarter than me had the same problem, what would they do? And like cycling through those frames helped me attack the problem differently, and that helps me a lot. Like I use those frames a lot when I'm trying to solve things. Guys, I appreciate you all. Hope you enjoyed the YouTube video. Thank you much. Appreciate you.